corporate Christmas parties. Everyone turns into sloppy, embarrassing messes.
Well, hello, Diane.
Oh, Stan, not again.
How about joining me at the punch bowl?
Enough. You're embarrassing yourself, Stan.
Well, if that's gonna be your attitude...
Stanley is a spy?
That is so weird.
Los Angeles spies. Now focus.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that's putting fabric softener in its dream cars. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Maxwell Silverhammer Patton.
I double majored in medicine and kicking your butt at trivia.
Matt Dictionary Corner Jones.
So, do you have a mascot? Yes, it's for luck, and yes, of course you're going to need it.
And J. Michael, Mr. Sensitive Osborne.
If I don't win this game, I'm going to scream and cry.
Hello and welcome to everybody, and thanks so much for joining us for the second elimination match here in the Season 9 Globochem Division. Joining us as per always, keeping the scores, it's Scoremaster Dan. Hi there, Dan.
Oh, hi there, Taylor. I'm actually feeling very good tonight. We had a great dinner, and we got just a wonderful Chateau Minetti 281. Had a couple glasses, so the scores might have a little bit of a margin of error on them tonight. We'll keep an eye on it.
All right, listeners, please always second guess everything that Dan Cassino does. He loves it. Also joining us today, working the boards, hitting us with those clips, it's production master Dave.
So, brave knights, if you do doubt your courage or your strength, come no further, for death awaits you all with nasty big pointy teeth.
Well, I hope that rallies your courage for a game of My Champion. In this game, each one of our three players has chosen a champion from somewhere out in the world of pop culture. The catch? We pick the battle those champions are fighting. Bass player and dragon slayer Maxwell Patton, who is your champion?
My champion is the Watcher Informant from the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Crossword constructor and Anglophile Matt Jones, who is your champion?
My champion is lovable furry old Grover from Sesame Street.
And the Hollywood big shot known as J-Mo. J-Mo, who is your champion today?
My champion is Lydia Tarr of Tarr.
Lydia Tarr is a real person. Don't we normally have to have fictional characters on the show? I guess we'll have to make an exception.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Alan Gopnik did interview her that one time at the New Yorker Festival.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, well, we're going to let it slide for now and get into the challenge. Production master Dave is on judging duties, so let's go ahead and spin that scenario wheel. Today's scenario asks, who's most likely to find the Holy Grail? Maxwell, why is, from the Marvel Universe, the Watcher Informant most likely to find the Holy Grail?
So the Watcher Informant, the gentleman played by Stan Lee himself, he is a being who constantly informs the Watchers of what's going on in the universe. I feel like he doesn't just go throughout space, going to different planets such as Sakaar and Xandar. He also goes throughout time. So I feel like with the Watcher Informant, he can pretty much go throughout space, throughout time, try and figure out where this Holy Grail is going to be hidden, and even when it was hidden, and then he'd be able to find it. Plus, he has the magnetism of Stan Lee, of Larry King, and Hugh Hefner. So if that didn't work, he can just persuade people to give it to him or tell him where it is.
Thank you, Maxwell. All right, Matt, why is Grover from Sesame Street going to be the one to find the Holy Grail?
Grover has had numerous jobs, and I figure that one of these jobs, eventually he's going to end up as Grail Hunter or something like that. He is the most diligent person. If he gets an idea, he will not give up on it until it is finished, or he is completely exhausted, one of the two. So if he tries to find the Holy Grail... Oh, I see you have not found the Holy Grail. Let me try again. Now I'm trying to find the Holy Grail. So,
some very growth mindset thinking from Matt. Thank you. All right, J-Mo, why is disgraced conductor Lydia Tarr most likely to find the Holy Grail?
Yeah, so we are coming up against a problem here with choosing a real person, because this did actually happen to Lydia Tarr. She did go on a quest for the Holy Grail, and she did find it. She did it by imitating a series of bishops and cardinals throughout the Catholic Church. She used a friend's private jet to get to the Vatican and travel the world from there, and said a lot of problematic things while she was doing that made a lot of people really uncomfortable, and they wound up just giving it to her. It was easier that way.
All right, thank you, J-Bo. All right, Dave, time for you to determine our winner.
This one's easier. It's Lydia Tarr, because I haven't seen that movie and I believed everything J-Mo said. So our winner today is J-Mo.
Thank you so much.
Well, that was quick. Congratulations, J-Mo. You have won my champion, which means you get a crack at the half point. Answer this question correctly, and you will get half a point more than either of your fellow players. Here is your half-point question. In Monty Python and the Holy Grail, before his death by the legendary black beast of Arg, Brother Maynard reads mystic runes explaining the location of the Grail. According to these runes, the last words of Joseph of Arimathea, the Grail can be found in the castle of what?
Quite a long walk to get there. The castle of... I watched this movie probably more than anything else as a kid, and that means that I haven't watched it in about 15 to 20 years, so I have to pass.
Maxwell?
Is it the Castle of Arg?
It is, also. Of course, Joseph of Arimathea must have died while writing it, hence the Arg, as he wrote as he was dying. So, J-Mo, you may have missed the half point, but you get to go first in round one. You can't keep a good Renaissance man down. Leonardo da Vinci is truly a Renaissance man. In addition to being an artist, engineer, and architect, he's made all sorts of appearances in modern pop culture. In this game, we'll tell you about one of his appearances, and you have to name the property where he showed up. So, if we told you that in a 2003 novel, da Vinci was hiding all sorts of clues about the secret history of Jesus in his paintings, you'd know we were talking about...
The Da Vinci Code.
The Da Vinci Code, that answer would get you 10 points. If you need some more help, we can tell you the name of someone that Da Vinci might have been in contact with, but then a correct answer is only worth 5. Let's start it off with J-Mo. This is a 2014 movie. Da Vinci is helping a time-traveling dog build a device that will charge a time machine.
Time-traveling dog build a device... charge a time machine. Well, I would think that this would ring a bell if I knew it, but I'll take the hint.
This movie features the voice of Ty Burrell.
Okay, so time-traveling dog Ty Burrell of Modern Family. Yep, pass. Don't know it.
Maxwell knows this one.
Is that Mr. Peabody and Sherman?
The big screen CG animated version, yes. Next one is for Matt. This is a 1990 novel. Da Vinci is meeting with the demonic Crowley, who has the original sketch for the Mona Lisa, which he thinks is way better than the final version.
Whoa. Those are names, and I can piece that together. I'm going to take the hint, please.
In the TV version of this novel, you can find David Tennant.
All I can think of is Doctor Who, so I'm just going to go with Doctor Who.
J-Mo?
Is it Good Omens?
Yes, Good Omens, that Neil Gaiman, Terry Pratchett novel, the answer here. Next to Maxwell. This is a 1981 movie. Da Vinci arrives at a Roman restaurant to paint Jesus and his disciples eating dinner. For the sake of composition, he has everyone sit on the same side of the table.
Huh, okay. I'll be honest, this doesn't seem really familiar to me. Can I please have the hint?
In this movie, you can find John Hurt.
Okay, I don't know a lot of John Hurt movies. I am gonna go with The Elephant Man.
Matt?
Is this History of the World Part 1?
It is. Prior to his appearance in Spaceballs, John Hurt popping up in History of the World Part 1 as Jesus.
Did we all take a moment to imagine that scene in The Elephant Man, though? Did we all enjoy that little tableau? Because I did.
Yeah, people don't realize how much the original script was different than what actually got shot.
Hey, it's me. I'm here to paint.
I'm just imagining Ollivander doing that.
Oh, jeez. We are back to J-Mo. This is a 2009 video game. Da Vinci is helping a killer working for a secretive group to find his targets.
That would be Assassin's Creed.
Correct for 10. Next up to Matt, this is a 1998 movie. Da Vinci is what amounts to Danielle's fairy godparent in a non-magical retelling of the Cinderella story.
Non-magical retelling. The only thing I can think of even Cinderella adjacent is Ever After. I'm going to go for the hint first.
This movie stars Drew Barrymore.
Is this Ever After?
It is Ever After. 5 points after the hit. Next, we are over to Maxwell. This is a 2010 comic book. In Marvel Comics, a modern super spy organization has ancient roots, and Da Vinci is an important member back in the day. Also, he's ripped.
Huh. Okay. I should know Marvel Comics, but I cannot think of what this is. I'd like the hint for this one, please.
This organization features Samuel L. Jackson in the movies.
Oh, is it S.H.I.E.L.D. or HYDRA? It's S.H.I.E.L.D.
S.H.I.E.L.D., correct, with Da Vinci popping up in some 2010 S.H.I.E.L.D. comics. We are back to J-Mo. This is a 1963 TV series. An alien stranded on Earth uses a time machine to bring Da Vinci into the present to help him fix his spaceship. Instead, Da Vinci just makes off with a painting and passes it off as his own.
God, only guess I got here is Doctor Who.
Ah. Here we're talking My Favorite Martian with a Wild Da Vinci episode. Next up to Matt. This is a 1991 movie. Da Vinci builds a device that turns lead into bronze to help him build a giant statue, but abandons it, leaving a singing cat burglar to try to put it back together centuries later.
Singing cat burglar? Oh. I'm really going to have to take that hint.
This movie stars Bruce Willis.
Is this Hudson Hawk?
Hey, for 5. Next to Maxwell, this is a 1993 TV series. Da Vinci's paintbrush shows up as a featured artifact in a legend related to the players of a kids' game show.
I've got two guesses in my head right now. It's got to be either Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego or Legends of the Hidden Temple. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to say Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego.
It's Legends of the Hidden Temple. I'm so sorry, Maxwell.
Dang.
After that close but no cigar answer for Maxwell, let's go to our first score update from Scoremaster Dan.
Well, things are tight and everyone's on the board, so we're doing fine for our first score break. Right now, Maxwell's got 5 points. J-Mo and Matt are tied with 10.
All right, let's keep it going. Back to J-Mo. This Da Vinci cameo slash appearance is from a 1966 TV series. A spaceship crew finds out that Da Vinci was actually just one alias for an ancient immortal named Flint.
Another 1960s TV series, something I know everything about. I feel like it's got to be Star Trek.
The original series for 10. Next up, we are over to Matt. This is a 1994 TV series. After being brought to the future by the villainous Mother of Invention, Da Vinci shows his ability to make flying devices out of rudimentary objects and winds up the leader of Leonardo da Vinci and his fighting genius time commandos.
Wow, this is... I was alive during the 90s, and I don't remember any of these questions for the 90s, so... Oh, gosh. Yeah, hint, please.
The title character is voiced by Townsend Coleman, but Patrick Warburton played him in a later live-action iteration.
The Tick?
Leonardo da Vinci popping up on The Tick. Next, we are to Maxwell. This is from a 1999 TV series. A spaceship crew discovers that Da Vinci is actually an alien from the planet Vinci, who came to Earth because he was constantly bullied about being the dumbest guy on his homeworld.
Oh. I feel like it could be Futurama, because I feel like it's something that they would do. I'm not going to go for it this time. I'm going to get the hint, please.
This series stars John DiMaggio.
Okay, he would be Bender, so yeah, that would be Futurama.
I'm sorry, it's the Legends of the Hidden Temple.
No, it's Futurama. 5 points. Last Da Vinci example for each of our players. This one is for J-Mo. It's from a 1964 TV series. A supernaturally talented housewife summons Da Vinci in order to paint a house.
Why are you doing this to me? How is this happen? We'll go back to my... I'll get a hint.
This series stars Elizabeth Montgomery.
Fantastic. 1964? I don't know. Let's say The Twilight Zone?
Matt?
That's Bewitched.
Okay. Fair enough.
Matt, this next one's for you. It's a video game franchise that began in 1991. In a history-spanning turn-based game, Da Vinci's workshop is one of the best wonders of the world a player can build. In later installments, he shows up as a, quote, great person, end quote.
Well, if you're talking turn-based games and you're talking the 90s and something that's lasted this long, it's probably going to be Civilization.
Good for 10, with Leonardo's workshop showing up in Civilization 2. Our last one is for Maxwell. This is a 1999 short that serves as a coda to a 1983 TV series. A much-put-upon manservant builds a time machine to Da Vinci's specifications, enabling him to visit various periods of British history and runs into versions of himself and his master.
Okay. I'll need that hint, please.
The series stars Rowan Atkinson.
Oh, okay. That's Mr. Bean.
It's the other one, Matt.
Is this Blackadder?
It is. All the periods of history for Blackadder. Well, that'll wrap up round one. Up next, scores from Dan, and onward to round two. Hey, listeners. Taylor here to tell you about what's going on in the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show Club. If you head to usaquizshow.com/club and subscribe at any one of our membership levels, you can get ad-free and early drop episodes of this very show. Plus, you can get access to our Discord channel to talk about the show, all things pop culture, plus join the conversation about all the Through Methods podcasts. That's Extra Hot Great, Listen to Sassy, and Again With This. You'll also get to join in on our live trivia and game night events over Zoom. Keep your eyes peeled for those. We are up to our 3 episodes per month rate of episode releasing, and we are just jonesing to get up to 4. The higher we can get in terms of that membership, the closer we'll get to hitting that. So the more people who subscribe, the more show you will get. Catch it all at usaquizshow.com/club.
Going to round two, it's time for the Grandma Betsy's Biscuit Powder score break. Grandma Betsy's Biscuit Powder. You know, most of Mr. Show has actually aged pretty well. Right now, Matt is in the lead with 25 points, Jambo's got 20, Maxwell's in third with 10 points. That means he'll go first in round two.
It also means Maxwell gets a chance to make up some ground with... the Threequalizer. Maxwell, I'm going to ask you a question that has 3 possible answers. You'll have 3 guesses to match as many of those answers as you can, with 10 points to you for each answer you can match. Here is your Threequalizer question. In 2010 and 2011, Stan Lee is credited as playing himself on 3 high-profile TV shows. Those shows were on CBS, HBO, and NBC, respectively. Name those 3 shows. I promise we wrote this before we knew who his champion was.
You would think in my my research about Stan Lee being the Watcher informant, I would think about what this answer could be. Okay, between 2010 and 2011, I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be one of them. Oh, okay. What else could it be? NBC. Oh, I forget which one that's on. NBC Heroes, I think, might be one of them. And then the only HBO show I can think of is Game of Thrones. I'm sorry.
Stanley is a spy? That is so weird.
Los Angeles spies.
In this case, we are talking about his self cameos on The Big Bang Theory on CBS, logical for him to show up there, on Entourage, and, as we heard in that clip, on NBC's Chuck. So no points in the Threequalizer, but you'll still kick us off in round two, entitled Real People in Four Colors. Comic book crossovers between disparate fictional properties is so last season of this show. We've moved on from that kind of thing, and now we're asking about comic book crossovers between fictional characters and actual people. In this game, we'll tell you about an appearance of a real person in a comic book. You name both the comic character and the real person. So, if we told you that a 2004 comic had a former resident of Duckworld confront a noted movie director claiming that a 1986 flop breached his contract, which called for sequels and merchandising, you'd know that was a crossover between
Howard the Duck
and
George Lucas.
That answer would get you 20 points, but only if you have both parts of the answer. If you're not sure about one or both of the pieces, we can tell you a little more about them, but then a correct answer is only worth 10. Afterwards, we'll ask you about another property that that comic book character intersected with. A correct answer there is worth another 10 points. Let's start with Maxwell. This is a 1949 comic. A legendary radio star ironically finds himself transported to Mars, where the evil Martian government wants him to be a propaganda minister. He manages to radio a superhero for help, and together they take down the evil Martian government. In his civilian identity, the superhero then writes a story about the event.
Okay, so I think the comic book character is Superman. I'm trying to think who a legendary radio star from the 40s would be. Okay, I'll take the hint.
It's a superhero with a movie series starting in 1978 and the star of Touch of Evil.
I'll be honest with you, I have no idea who starred in Touch of Evil. Pass, I'm sorry.
J-Mo?
Orson Welles?
And Superman. Yes, Orson Welles, after having accidentally convinced some people that maybe Martians were invading us, he popped to Mars in that comic. Still for Maxwell, in a 1987 promotional comic, Superman teamed up with the bunny mascot of this Nestle brand.
Okay, Nestle. Oh, God. What is a bunny? Is it Peeps?
This is Quick, the Nestle's Quick Bunny, that chocolate milk powder. Next up to J-Mo, this is a 2012 comic. When a gang of demons attacks their town, a group of all-American teens has their friend magically summon a supernaturally themed rock quartet to help them fight back.
Okay, a gang of demon attacks their town, so that leads me to believe that we're talking about Kiss. Teen Titans and Kiss?
Half right with Kiss. Maxwell, do you know who that group of comic characters is?
That other comic is Archie.
The kids from Riverdale teaming up with Kiss.
I have that comic at home.
Nice. Still for J-Mo, in a 2015 crossover with the third movie in this series, Archie and friends are caught in a storm that brings some unusual creatures to Riverdale.
Caught in a storm. Okay, so unusual creatures. 2015. I don't got it. Pass.
This is the Archie Sharknado crossover.
Sounds great.
Next to Matt. This is a 1966 comic. A comedian and his nephew start imitating a newly popular superhero duo. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but I understand they love it in France.
Comedian in France is leading me to Jerry Lewis. And a newly popular superhero duo is, I'm going to say Jerry Lewis and Batman and Robin.
Good for 20. Nice answer, Matt. Matt, starting in 1991, Batman has had a series of crossovers with this ultra-violent masked lawman of a dystopian future America.
Yeah, ultraviolet. I'm violent. Not ultraviolet, but I'm thinking the Punisher.
We're talking Judge Dredd with that distinctive mask. Back to Maxwell. This is a 2008 comic. A comedian running for president leaves a New York fundraiser and gets entangled in a fight between a friendly neighborhood superhero and the purported menace of the Grizzly.
So that leads me to believe the comic book character is Spider-Man. So the comedian running for president. Oh, God. Could it be Mike Myers? Spider-Man and Mike Myers.
Once again, had half of it. This is Spider-Man and Stephen Colbert in a comic together. Still for Maxwell, Spider-Man is among the heroes caught up in a 2013 crossover with this Disney cartoon when Doofenshmirtz accidentally drains the hero's power. Also, there's a platypus.
That cartoon is Phineas and Ferb.
Good for 10. Next to J-Mo, this is a 1980 comic. An industrialist slash superhero takes a date to Vegas where he's being stalked by an armored villain. The bad guy attacks a club where the hero was going to appear, but it turns out that he got bumped for a self-deprecating comedian.
Okay, industrialist slash superhero sure sounds like Tony Stark. And being stalked by an armored villain. A lot of his villains are armored. But I am going to take the hint here.
This is a superhero with a movie series starting in 2008 and the star of Back to School.
Okay, so that would be Tony Stark, Iron Man, and Rodney Dangerfield.
Good for Ted. J-Mo, Iron Man makes a brief appearance in this 2018 Disney sequel.
Is that Wreck-It Ralph, Ralph Breaks the Internet?
The second Wreck-It Ralph movie. Very good. Next to Matt, a 1989 comic. Doing a story about the vault of avian gangster Al Capone, a TV reporter meets a not-too-dangerous cartoon vampire and decides to make a Halloween special about him.
Oh, okay. So it makes me think of right around that time, that was when they did the unvaulting, I guess, of Al Capone, and that was Geraldo Rivera and Duckman.
Very close. You got Geraldo, but this is a crossover with Count Duckula, that cartoon vampire. Still for Matt, Count Duckula was a spinoff of this cartoon parody of Danger Man and James Bond.
Oh, I got nothing. Pass.
That cartoon is Danger Mouse. Next up, back to Maxwell. This is a 2004 comic. A former teen sidekick decides that rather than tracking down a bad guy with his superhero team, he'll appeal to the public. So he goes on the air with a TV host who's made a long career out of finding fugitives.
Okay. Former teen sidekick to me sounds like Robin. Oh, God. I think I've got an idea, but I'm going to ask for the hint here.
It's an unpowered sidekick to one of the most popular superheroes and the longtime host of America's Most Wanted.
Okay, that's what I thought. So I'm going to say the answer is Robin and John Walsh.
Good for 10. Nice, Maxwell. Maxwell, in a 1967 episode of Batman, Robin had to fight the Green Hornet's sidekick, played by this legendary martial artist.
Okay, so it's Kato with a sidekick. That would probably be... Is that too early for Bruce Lee? Let's go Bruce Lee.
We all saw Brad Pitt beat him up. Yes, that is Bruce Lee. Next up to J-Mo. This is a 2015 comic. In an issue co-written by Brian Posehn, a cartoonish mercenary anti-hero becomes a paid spokesman for an evil energy company, until he's talked out of it by an activist comedian who had worked with Posehn in the past.
Well, I know that's Deadpool, and I recall him writing for Deadpool. Now, worked with Possein in the past, activist comedian. I'm thinking David Cross. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to say Deadpool and David Cross.
Very, very close. Deadpool and Sarah Silverman popping up in that comic together. The character All Might from this popular manga and anime fights Deadpool in a volume of his Japanese-produced manga series.
Manga and anime are not my strong suit by any stretch. I couldn't even name one. Pass.
That's My Hero Academia, the popular series.
See, between the 60s TV shows and this manga that's popular now, on average, we're getting right in the middle, right? Like it's.
Yeah.
Exactly. Next up to Matt. This is from a 1988 comic book. An often space-based superhero decides to restore his public image by flying to Chicago to appear on a popular talk show. But the host calls him out for being mentally unbalanced when he talks about being a test pilot with a complete lack of fear.
Okay, I'm not sure on the test pilot part. I am thinking Chicago. If I had to flip a coin on it, it's either going to be Oprah Winfrey or Donahue. And I think most people started showing up on Oprah Winfrey. And yeah, I'm going to need a hint.
This is a superhero with a 2011 movie and the host of a talk show that ran from 1986 to 2011.
Okay. I'm still not on the superhero, so I'm just going to throw it out there. Somebody in Oprah Winfrey.
You did get half of it. Maxwell, who's that superhero?
I believe it's Green Lantern.
The test pilot, the man without fear, showing up on the Oprah Winfrey show in that comic. Still, for Matt, a 2017 promotional comic has Green Lantern teaming up with this goateed fast food spokesman.
Ooh, well, the only one with a goatee, and I'm hoping that none of the rest of them do, is Colonel Sanders.
Correct for 10, which takes us into our next score break from Scoremaster Dan.
Gen X or Ronald McDonald.
This has been a rough round for our players, but it's been about equally rough for everyone. Right now, Matt is in lead with 55, Maxwell and JMO are tied with 40.
Back to Maxwell. This is a 1965 comic. Two members of a superheroic quartet decide to take dates to see the biggest pop music act in the world. And while the girls meet the band, the heroes wind up missing the show, but get some cool wigs.
Huh, okay. I can't think of many superhero quartets. It almost sounds like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but I highly doubt it. Can I get the hint, please?
It's a superhero team with a movie as recently as 2015, and a band that was a big deal in the 1960s.
Okay, so the band's probably gonna be the Beatles? And then the superhero with 2015, I'm going to say Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and the Beatles.
You got the Beatles part, but this is the Fantastic Four crossing over with the Beatles there.
Dan, was this called the Fantastic Four and the Fab Four? Is that why this team up?
Yeah, Fantastic Four and the Fab Four. And they had the characters wearing wigs. It's funny because the Human Torch and the Thing are wearing wigs.
Oh, that's pretty good. I like that. Still for Maxwell, a 1979 cartoon series paired The Thing from the Fantastic Four in an hour-long block with this long-running animated sitcom. I guess the connection is something about rocks?
Huh, okay. Rocks from the 70s. I think it's going to be Fred Flintstone.
With that series, Fred and Barney meet The Thing. 10 points to Maxwell. Next up to JMO, this is a 1983 comic. When one of its members tries to build a Hollywood career, a premier superhero team is booked on a popular late-night show. After the team is attacked on set, the host brings out some novelty props, and they have more fun than humans should be allowed to have.
So, premier superhero team. So, we're going A-list, Avengers, Justice League. And a popular after the team is tech. I'm going to go for the hint, please.
It's a superhero team with a movie series starting in 2012, and the host of My Next Guest Needs No Introduction.
Okay, so that's very helpful. So that would be The Avengers with their movie in 2012 and David Letterman.
Correct. J-Mo, a 1988 Marvel crossover had the Avengers and other heroes fighting the High Evolutionary. At the time, Marvel was publishing a comic based on this alien sitcom title character, so they included an issue of that series in the crossover as well.
And in sitcom, it's either Alf or Mork and Mindy. I'll go Alf.
Alf is correct. Could have been My Favorite Martian, your favorite show, as we learned in round one.
My number one all-time favorite show. My Favorite Martian and The Sopranos, kind of tied.
Next up to Matt for a 1988 comic. A publicity-loving British entrepreneur dredges the ancient remains of robots from the bottom of the Thames, which are promptly stolen by some robot jets.
Oh, my goodness. Publicity-loving British entrepreneur. I mean, I'm thinking Richard Branson for that, and then bottom of the Thames, stolen by some robot jets. Let's say Richard Branson and the Thunderbirds.
First of all, I'm naming my next band Richard Branson and the Thunderbirds. But in this case, this is a crossover between the Transformers and Richard Branson. Still for Matt, the Transformers toys have featured whole lines devoted to other properties. For instance, a Transformers toy from this franchise turns from Cad Bane into the Xanadu Blood.
Oh, Xanadu. You say Xanadu and I'm thinking Gene Kelly all of a sudden, and I know it's not that. So, I wish there was one like that, but I'm going to have to pass.
Cad Bane, a character from the Star Wars universe. This is a Star Wars Transformer toy.
Taylor, do you think we could get like an actual like Xanadu, like Olivia Newton-John Transformer, and she'll turn into like a roller skate? I think we could make that work, right?
Yeah. Huge market for it. Last comic book to real life person crossover for each player. This one is for Maxwell. It's a 1971 comic. In a tribute to the book Radical Chic and Mau Mauing the Flatcatchers, a socialite couple brings in the New York literati for a fundraiser to help a character they decide is just a misunderstood monster. They eventually give him the money, but he just throws it to the ground and wanders off.
So it sounds to me that this character is going to be Frankenstein, but I'm not sure in the socialite couple. May I have the hint, please?
This is a crossover between a superhero with a 1977 TV series and the writer of The Right Stuff.
Okay, so the writer would be Tom Wolfe. 1977 superhero series. Oh, God. Let's go... You already said Fantastic Four. I'm going to say Fantastic Four and Tom Wolfe.
Tom Wolfe corrects, but that misunderstood monster is the Incredible Hulk. Still for Maxwell, the 2008 Incredible Hulk video game was developed by Sega. So, of course, this spiny mammal shows up on billboards in the game.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
For 10. Next to J-Mo, this 1990 comic book. A godlike being aids a struggling playwright. In return, the playwright must make a production to ensure that mankind doesn't forget about the fairy and their rulers.
Jeez, this sounds like a banger. struggling playwright. Okay, you know what? The hints have been extraordinarily helpful here, so I'm going to go right to it.
It's a comics character with a 2022 TV series and a guy who left his second best bed to his wife when he died.
Okay. 2022 series. I got nothing. I'm lost on this one. Pass.
This 2022 series is based off Neil Gaiman and not Terry Pratchett's The Sandman. And that is a crossover with William Shakespeare, Shakespeare and the Sandman, in 1990. Still for J-Mo, among the other writers in Sandman is this contemporary of Shakespeare who gets called by the nickname Kit.
Contemporary of Shakespeare. Nothing. Pass.
Matt knows this one.
I think this is Christopher Marlowe.
Yes, also popping up in Sandman.
So all you English majors listening, you're welcome for that question.
And closing it out with Matt. This is a 1976 comic. A stage performer known for bending spoons on TV takes on a costumed criminal. When the bad guy escapes to New York, the mentalist teams up with a crimson-clad superhero with religious undertones to take him down.
Ooh, well, I immediately know half of that, though. That's crossword famous Uri Geller. I'm going to have to take the hint on that one.
It's a superhero with a 2015 TV show and an Israeli performer who was notably debunked on The Tonight Show in 1973.
Is this Uri Geller in The Flash?
Crimson clad on The Flash. J-Mo, who's this hero?
Gotta be Daredevil.
Uri Geller and Daredevil. Matt, the TV version of Daredevil crossed over with other Netflix shows in this miniseries.
Nothing is coming to me right now, I'm afraid. It's all pass.
That is The Defenders, where he teams up with Jessica Jones and Iron Fist, that whole crew.
I don't know how you could have forgotten that one.
Well, that'll do it for round two. Up next, the scores from Dan and on to our final round. Before we get to the last round of play, it's time for the home version with the harmonic mean question. A challenge for you, listeners, using whatever logic you choose, determine who is the harmonic mean, aka exact middle on the continuum, between the knight in Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade who babysits the Holy Grail, and Tim the Enchanter who assists the Knights of the Round Table in Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Got a fun, smart, and concise answer to that? Then hit the link in your show notes to send in that answer and win the chance to name a score break here on the show. We'll throw some of our favorite answers up on our social media. We are at USA Quiz Show on Instagram and Twitter. Now to Dan for our scores.
Going around three, it's time for the Tech Corp Systems score break. Tech Corp Systems. Oh. Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce typewriter symbols. Sorry. Right now, J-Mo and Maxwell are tied for lead with 60 points. Matt's got 55. That means he's going to go first in round three.
What are you people doing? Don't abuse the score break system. Don't make things that just fall dead for Dan. That's not good podcasting. Guys, come on. Come on. You guys out there can do better.
Next person needs to submit their score break exclusively in Wingdings font. All right. Anything can still happen as we go into the lightning round.
I mean, we live in the society.
Thanks, George Costanza. Players have their choice of categories and are given...
David's getting angry!
Players have their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. You will earn 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are... What a Tool, USA for Africa, Ifs and or Buts, and These Pretzels Are Making Me Thirsty. Now, these topics are a little mysterious from their names alone, so pick the thing you think you're going to be able to do the best on. Or maybe you want to keep something that sounds easy away from one of your fellow players. Matt, you're in third place, so you get to choose first. Which of the four categories would you like? Once again, they are What a Tool, USA for Africa, Ifs and or Buts, and These Pretzels Are Making Me Thirsty.
Taylor, I need you to read that last one again, please.
These pretzels are making me thirsty.
Well, I was tempted to go with that one until that happened, but you know, I'm thinking if I want to go with the wordplay one, my hope is that it's going to be ifs and or buts, so I'll go with that.
Well, in this case, it's ifs and or, one word, and or buts. Playing Cassian Andor on that series is actor Diego Luna, so this is going to be all about the life and career of actor Diego Luna. Matt, 90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Are you ready?
I'm about as ready as I'm going to be, so bring it.
He's Javier in the largely unrelated Havana Nights prequel to this 1987 movie.
Dirty Dancing.
He directed a 2014 film starring Michael Peña as this labor leader.
Chavez.
He has produced theater, film, and television with this Y Tu Mama También co-star.
Gabriel, pass.
He somehow plays Will Ferrell's younger brother in this 2012 comedy.
A pass.
He presented at the 2022 Emmy Awards alongside this Ahsoka star.
Oh, no, pass.
He creates the Guadalajara cartel in this Netflix spin-off series.
Narcos.
Narcos Mexico. As Jack Lira, he meets a tragic end in this 2008 Sean Penn starring biopic.
Milk?
He was in Miss Bala before its American remake starring this Jane the Virgin actress.
Pass.
Luna is an unstable drug lord in this 2012 Mark Wahlberg action thriller.
Heat?
Contraband. He's a muscly Matt Damon's best friend in this 2013 sci-fi social allegory.
Pass.
Luna is a voice in The Book of Life, an animated film about this holiday.
Life Day.
That is Day of the Dead, or Dia de los Muertos, the non-Coco movie about that holiday. All right, Dan, let's hear the Matt report.
Matt, there's only one movie about Life Day. I think we all know that. Come on. All right, we have plenty of passes to go through. It seemed like you were right there, but the co-star of Y Tu Mama También is Gael García Bernal. He plays Will Ferrell's younger brother in Casa de Mi Padre. He presented the 2022 Emmy Awards with Rosario Dawson. The star of Jane the Virgin in the U.S. is Gina Rodriguez. And he's Matt Damon's best friend in Elysium. Matt got 3 correct answers, gave him 85 points. He now has the lead. Maxwell will need to match that and get 3 points in order to pull into first.
All right, Maxwell. 3 category choices left. They are What a Tool, USA for Africa, and
these pretzels are making me thirsty.
Well, considering my nickname is Silver Hammer, I think I have to go with the Tool category.
What do you think it's going to be, Maxwell?
See, I'm leaning towards Tim Allen, but I don't think you do 2 people categories in one round. I think it has stuff that starts with the Tool's name.
Oh, no, question, Maxwell. How much do you know about the band Tool?
Not a lot.
Actually, you're pretty close. Every answer in this pop culture round will have the name of something you might find in a toolbox somewhere in the answer.
Also, Taylor, are you concerned like I am that Maxwell just figured out the way we built these rounds? Is like, well, that's the wordplay one. That's the actor one. Like, oh boy, we got to change things up.
Cut all this out, Steven. Cut all this out. All right, 90 seconds on the clock. Maxwell, are you ready?
Yes.
Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross anchor this band.
9 Inch Nails.
This British film company is best known for its gothic horror films.
Pass.
Frank Grillo starred in this 2020 Groundhog Day-style actioner.
Oh, pass.
Steve Martin and Madeline Kahn starred in this 1994 Nora Ephron movie.
Pass.
David Rash is the improbably named title character in this 1986 TV police spoof.
Pass.
Icy Girl rapper Diamante Cuiava Valentin Harper performs under this name.
Pass.
2020's The Turning and 1961's The Innocents are adaptations of this Henry James story.
The Turning of the Screw.
The Turn of the Screw. This Mickey Spillane private eye first appeared in 1947's I, the Jury.
Pass.
This swing revival band had a hit with 1996's Hell.
Pass.
This 1983 Peter Keligan teen sex comedy has a number of noted similarities to Porky's.
Pass.
He had a 1990 hit with You Can't Touch This.
MC Hammer.
This reality show centered on Roseanne Barr's Hawaiian farm.
Pass.
This 1949 Pete Seeger song was written in support of the progressive movement.
Pass.
The sequel to this 2014 animated feature was subtitled Nutty by Nature.
Pass.
The Nut Job, the squirrel CGI movie. All right, Dan, let's hear the Maxwell Report.
All right, we have a bunch of passes to get through. Maxwell had the right idea. If you don't know immediately, just pass it. So he had the right idea there. Didn't have right ideas, but made the questions, but he had right idea about the strategy, so that's good. The British film company best known for gothic horror is Hammer Films. The Frank Grillo starring Groundhog Day style actioner, which is actually pretty good, is called Boss Level. So you find a level in a toolbox. Steve Martin and Madeline Kahn starred in Mixed Nuts. David Rash stars in the 1986 TV police spoof Sledgehammer. Icy Girl rapper is Sawiti, like a saw. Mickey Spillane's creation is Mike Hammer. There's only two swing revival bands I can think of, so if it's not the Brian Setzer Orchestra, who I saw in concert, because, boy, I shouldn't say that on the air, it's got to be the Squirrel Nut Zippers. The Peter Gallagher sex comedy that is a lot like Porky's is Screwballs. The reality show centered on Roseanne Barr's Hawaiian farm is Roseanne's Nuts. See, because she's nuts, and she grows nuts. Yeah, that's funny.
Good one.
The 1949 Pete Seeger song written in support of the progressive movement is If I Had a Hammer. Maxwell needed three correct answers to pull in the first. He had just two, so Matt is still in lead with 85. Maxwell's got 80. Jamo's got 60. He'll need three correct answers in order to take the win.
Okay. Jamo, two category choices left for you. They are USA for Africa and These Pretzels Are Making Me Thirsty.
Yeah, if only just to get in on the game, I gotta go with These Pretzels Are Making Me Thirsty.
Jamo, if you're gonna throw out a wild guess, what is this category gonna be about?
I think it's gotta be the illustrious film career of Michael Richards.
Oh, yes. So illustrious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, in this case, we're talking about all the fictional movies that appear in the universe of Seinfeld.
Mm.
You big Seinfeld guy, J-Mo?
I was at one point. Okay. Another thing that's out of my head. I can think of one fake Seinfeld movie, so I'll get that one.
Hopefully it comes up.
Shakespeare, Seinfeld, together at last, outside of your brain.
90 seconds on the clock. J-Mo, are you ready?
No, but sure.
This movie tells the story of one girl's strange erotic journey from Milan to Minsk.
Rochelle!
Elaine wants to see Sack Lunch, but is instead dragged into this Best Picture winner.
The English Patient.
This Seinfeld creator actually wrote a screenplay called Prognosis Negative in the 1980s.
Larry David?
While watching Chunnel, this fiancé of George doesn't care for Jerry and Elaine's chit-chat.
Pass.
George gets a laugh with this line during a screening of Blimp, the Hindenburg story.
Pass.
This actress guest stars as herself, appearing in Rochelle Rochelle, the musical.
Pass.
In an episode titled The Movie, the gang tries unsuccessfully to meet up to see this chess flick.
Pass.
This character's terrible dancing makes it onto a bootleg of Cry Cry Again.
Elaine.
Fictional movie Agent Zero was also referenced around the same time on this Phil Hartman sitcom.
Pass.
This character gains notoriety for bootlegging the movie Death Blow.
Pass.
Instead of Prognosis Negative, George and Elaine see a movie about this Spanish explorer.
Pass. I don't know.
This video store employee recommends The Pain and the Yearning.
Video, don't know it. Pass.
That's Vincent working over at the video store on his recommendation wall. All right, Dan, let's hear the JMO report and our final scores.
Okay, let's go through the passes first. I thought this was a tough category. So watching Chunnel, Susan is the fiancée of George who doesn't care for Jerry and Elaine's chit-chat. George gets a line saying, that's gotta hurt, when the Hindenburg goes down in New Jersey, of all places, of course. Bette Midler guest stars as herself in Rochelle Rochelle the Musical. The gang unsuccessfully tries to see the chess flick Checkmate, and you can't have a movie about chess. That'd be like having a musical about chess. It's just ridiculous. It never happened. The Phil Hartman sitcom that's on about the same time as Seinfeld is News Radio. Jerry is the one who bootlegs the movie Death Blow, artistically. And the Spanish explorer George and Elaine see movie about is Ponce de Leon. No wonder they call him Ponce. J-Mo needed 3 correct answers to take the win. He had 4. So it means our final scores are Max with 80, Matt with 85, and a winner with 100 points. It's J-Mo.
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 Nice and close. Congratulations, J-Mo, and a big thanks to all of our players today. A real, real struggle and squeaker getting through at the end, but J-Mo has emerged victorious. That does mean it is time to say goodbye to Maxwell and Matt. A huge thank you for joining us, especially Maxwell as a last-second fill-in. We deeply appreciate you joining us once again here on the show. But before we go, Maxwell, is there anything you'd like to plug for our listeners, things to direct them towards?
Yes, you can listen to my podcast, Musically Write, Write spelled W-R-I-G-H-T. And then you can also check out my Instagram and Twitter at rockin_McFly. I'll have another podcast coming here soon. I just don't know when, so we'll figure it out later.
Thanks, Maxwell. And Matt, anything online you'd like to direct our listeners towards?
Well, maybe not directly online, but I am the Jones behind Jones and Crosswords. Just celebrated my 22nd anniversary of writing the puzzle, and it is found online, but hopefully also in an alternative weekly near you. And I'm on a bunch of random socials at Matt J. Puzzle Guy.
And J-Mo, where can our listeners find more of you online and elsewhere?
Not many places, but you can follow me on Letterboxd. Username is J.M. Osborne. O-S-B-O-R-N-E. I think we can go from 2 to 3 likes per joke to like 5 or 6 likes per joke with your help. So thank you.
Got to get those LPJs up. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And listeners, you can also find J-Mo as the pig emoji over on our season 9 bracket. Links to all of the things you just heard about are in your show notes. Well, that'll wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next time for the 3rd elimination match over in the Viridian Dynamics division. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan, Production Master Dave, Matt, Maxwell, and J-Mo, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show.
Okay, I was not expecting someone to say, oh, well, obviously Uri Geller's the easy part. I thought that Uri Geller was the hard part.